Nicole Garrett.
Hello.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. Just talking about that.
Oh, good, good.
And yourself?
Yeah, we had a great time. My husband and I and the kids were in Orlando with 35 other family members, but we had a ball.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we had a good time.
That sounds busy.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Garretts, they normally have a family reunion every year, and it travels. And so it was our turn to host. And it's normally done in August, but they want to do something different and do it at Thanksgiving. So we decided to rent a couple of townhomes to accommodate everybody, you know, in the same little village area. So it worked out fine. We had dinner there, and we had different things scheduled throughout the day for everybody to do. That was kid-friendly because most everyone have small kids.
Right.
It was nice. It was tiresome because we had to do all the hosting.
Right.
So, but I like doing stuff like that, so it wasn't bad.
Okay. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. What's up? Oh, just been an awesome morning, a blessed morning.
Good, good.
Excited.
Well,
I'll tell you about it later, though.
Okay, good. I need good news right now because I just walked into fire at work.
Okay.
So I can use all the good news I can get.
We don't review that and consider it done. So, Erica just got here. He was lost for 45 minutes. He was only coming from around the corner. And he called
mankind. Eric, that's not good. That is not good.
he asked an interesting question. Can you hear me well enough?
Yeah.
Okay. So he asked an interesting question this morning. He said, are we looking for a miracle with our business? And when he said it, immediately I was like, well, no, you know, no, I was like, no, no. But as I thought about it, I'm like, well, yeah, we're looking for a miracle. Why wouldn't we be? His follow-up to that was, depending on our answer to that question, was what his recommendations would be. So I said that we want to hear all the recommendations, then yes, we're looking for a miracle. So I would like to start with that first.
Okay, well then, I would like to ask, when you say miracle, what do you mean, Eric? Because, I mean, I can have one interpretation in my mind.
Well, I shared a story, Karina, and I won't go through the whole story, but I just shared a story about somebody going through a challenging time, and they need something to happen, like, right now. I've been there in business. I know other people that have been there. And so, I don't know if that's in the situation or, you know, you just want to kind of get it going, get it moving, and move forward.
Well, we have a caveat that's kind of been thrown at us. I've been given a separation notice for my job. So in terms of do we need something to happen, yes, we would definitely like the book to be profitable, and we would certainly like that to take off immediately. If it's possible, and I think it is. So, given what we sent to you about what we wanted to discuss, would now be the ideal time to tell you about the business model
Tell me about, another caveat, I take it very seriously with what I do and share and all that good stuff. So some of the stuff may be, like, kind of blunt and to the point, but that's because I love and want to see people succeed, so I just kind of cut right to the chase.
We want you to be raw and uncut and straight to the point. Would you agree, Nicole?
That's fine, yes. We're big girls, Eric. We can handle it.
Okay.
So, we have a company that's attached to the book. It's called Authentic You, Authentic Me. We have set up a website for that, and we sell the book. You can get the book on PayPal off the website. We chose that unique name because it kind of represents who we are. We didn't really have a clear-cut idea of... First, we kind of talked about being a promotional type of business where we would promote other people, and we talked about that. It was real loose, though. We didn't do anything concrete. And then, last week, I told Nicole, I said, what do you think about us having exclusive book clubs with chapters in certain cities? Once a year doing a conference that would offer workshops and opportunities to meet one of your favorite authors, bringing in a couple of different authors of the books that we've read. The entire book club would read the same book, every chapter in every city. We would blog about it. We could give the chapters a link. We would provide, I said monthly, Nicole said quarterly. Quarterly is a much better idea. A quarterly newsletter. Maybe even offer a Skype meeting with the author. Dues. We would charge dues, of course, to be a part of this exclusive book club. And probably could get a discount on the book, too, if we're buying a certain author's book in bulk. And what else did we say, Nicole? Was there anything additional that we talked about for the business model?
As far as that part of the business model, that's that you got it. But prior to that, we did have some discussions about what we would like to do: workshops, we would like to do conferences, we would also like to create a workbook to go along with our book. Because we've gotten so much great feedback regarding the end of every chapter, where we ask questions and we get the reader involved and to make them think about their options that they have now, or to help some type of way for them to get delivered or free from whatever they've gone through. So in addition to the exclusive book club, we want to do conferences, put on conferences. We want to do workshops. We want to be facilitators. So, I mean, we've been involved in a few workshops and conferences. Where we've taught classes. We've been, you know, keynote speakers. And so, but we want to bridge all of this under Authentic You, Authentic Me. And our tagline is The Real Experience, spelled with the X, X-P-E-R-I-E-N-C-E. So that's the thought process that we have now. But I mean, that's the model, that's the idea that we have now. And we think we could take it somewhere, but we just need to know, talk to someone with expertise or experience in this area to let us know the do's and the don'ts so we can avoid the pitfalls.
Okay. The model was sound in the sense that it's been, you know, it's an established business model, so it works. The couple questions. One, who is your target audience?
I would say young adults, probably ideally 18 to infinity. We have the ability to appeal to an audience that's very vast. I'm 41, Nicole is 44, but we have nieces and nephews, we even have some cousins that are, well, how old is Donald? 23. So, you know, my nieces and nephews are around that same age. So we are in touch, and Nicole has young children. Mm-hmm. She has a 5 and a 10-year-old, so we know the language, we know the fashion. We understand what they like. I have a 17-year-old, so I'm real hip.
But I think we wouldn't have the ability.
We have the ability to have that type of appeal.
Well, okay, here's the deal. In business, there's a term that marketing, we call it USP. Have you heard the phrase? It's,
yes.
Okay, unique selling proposition, unique selling proposal. And it mainly stands for, so this is the question you want to ask. You want to ask yourself two questions. But the first question is, why should somebody come to us as opposed to every other every other option available to them? Okay? So when I say a target audience, the more defined and the more narrow you make your audience, the larger it gets. Now, I know it's completely counterintuitive to what everybody thinks, but you can't be all things to all people. You have to narrow down, focus. So if it's young people, that's fine, but you have to give an age range. It just can't be, young people 22 to infinity,
okay.
Because by trying to appeal to everybody, you therefore appeal to no one. Okay, so you want to find a target group. I don't know what that group is. So if you use, when you saw me speaking at the adoption conference, right now I have other businesses, other things that I do, but for that particular market, I'm known as a magician with a message, America's whatever it says, number one illusionist and motivational speaker for the human services industry. So there's copy on one of my websites that says something along the lines of, you're a social worker, a foster parent, I work for social workers, foster parents, and youth between ages of 14 and 21, okay? So that's very precise. The truth is I can narrow that down even more, but that's very precise. It's a very defined market.
Mm-hmm.
So now when they come to me, they know exactly what I do. They know exactly what I'm about, and it's easier to stand out in an audience like that. So when you're trying to be all things to all people, the problem with that is, unless you have like unlimited capital to reach them, you'll go broke before you reach everybody.
Right.
So when you have a defined market, it's easier to reach them because it's easier to take the financial resources and reach out to them.
Okay. Go ahead, Nicole.
I think that as far as an adult market is concerned, I think that the 30 to 45 market is a great market. Now, I know that that's just like, that's 15 years between the two, but this is usually when a person reaches the age of 30, they're trying to figure out, where am I? In your 20s, you're just doing your thing. But by the time you get to 30, you're still trying to figure out, you're coming out of doing your thing, you're trying to figure out where you're going. You start to get a little bit more sense about yourself between like 35 and 40. Then between 40 and 45, you're like, okay, I've grasped a hold of something. Now I'm headed for my goal. You're on like your fourth woman, you're on like your third person at that point. You're 30, you're 40, you're not the person you were at 30. Now you're at this 40, mark between 40 and 45. You're headed in some type of direction, but you still need something to push you. You still need something, not guidance like a parental guidance, but you still need a little bit of adult affirmation. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like where we are. We are firm in who we are. We know what we want. We know how to go and get what we want, but we still need an Eric to help, show us the ropes, in sort of sense. Not like to be a parent, but to help show us. So I think in terms, because that's where we are. We basically just came out of our late 30s and we're in our 40s. That is a prime market where we can say, okay, well, we can hit that. We can hit it and quit it, men and women. And you can answer this, should we stick to just women or should we be men and women? Then I think if we're going to deal in a young adult market, if we wanted to go to a young people's market, 12 to 16, I'm not sure about that market, but I definitely know a 30 to 45 market, we could work it.
Well, here's a couple things. So most people start considering starting their own business, and I think it's like, and I forgot stats for men and women, but it's right around the age of 42, which is interesting. You're 44, you're 41, right? That's when they start kind of thinking about it. And the thought process comes from things have been happening in the workplace, and people start saying, okay, I need to do my own thing. I've been doing this long enough. I need to figure this out and do my own thing. So people in their 30s, early 30s, they're not there yet because they haven't, you know, they usually just started to get, you know, a good job, get in the situation, and they're still content, happy, you know, the corporate structure hasn't fallen apart and harassed them at that point yet. So if you could, so I think the first thing here is like, sit down, and we could do this, it's not rocket science, but to figure out a target market. Women is great, men is great, you know, obviously you could do both, but women, like the target market for women right now is huge. It's more, I mean, to the point I was actually considering doing something for women, a business entrepreneurial thing just for women, because it's such a big market right now. And more women, it's like more women are doing it now than men, you know.
Doing what?
Becoming entrepreneurs, stepping out, saying, you know, I'm going to leave my job, I'm going to, you know, step out, become a business owner.
But this is what we're doing with our focus is more spiritual, emotional growth. It's for self-evaluation. It's to grow into your true destiny, to understand your purpose, your promises. It's not necessarily geared towards helping you become a better entrepreneur. It's food for the soul.
Yeah, but you know what? I like that part, that little caveat, adding into, because what we're doing is entrepreneurship too, because that could be part of who they are. And then something that Eric said, what makes people come to you? Well, what would make people come to us? What will set us apart? Not everyone, but lots of people have the purpose-driven this or the purpose-driven that right now, whether it's from a spiritual base or natural base. But if we can have what you just said and add the component of, yes, go out and do your own thing, some type of way, be who you are, that's a part of your purpose. If that's a part of your purpose, then do that. If we can add that caveat, that would be something that would make us uniquely different from the rest who are all focusing on what your purpose is.
I was more thinking about what the name, the authentic you, authentic me, helping you find what is authentic for you. If what you're doing is not true to who you are, you will not last in it. When I think about our name and I think about what we are doing, this is a part of who we are that we've presented in the rawest form ever to tell a story. This is who I am. This is the real me. This is not who you meet when we shake hands and I say, hi, how are you? I'm Karita and I hand you my business card. This is a peek behind my curtain. So would it be better if this is the name of our company, and I certainly would not want to change that, for the niche to be, how do you do it, being who you are, being the best you can be?
I mean,
is this something that we should discuss when you're not here?
No, this is fine, because one of the most challenging things in the world to sell, and I sell it, so I know, is motivation, self-help, mindset, because that's what you're doing, okay? Now, everything is about mindset. Nothing happens until you make a mental shift in somebody's mind, okay? But the fact that you're there, it's great, but most people aren't, okay? Most people, so it's a tough, tough sell because it's hard to justify the cost for it. So if I'm doing a coaching call with somebody on how to make more money in their business, and I say, look, here's there's three different ways you could add six figures to your business in the next 12 months, you know.
What are they?
So,
that's a different call, Karita.
But you see what I'm saying? So you're trying to call the money, right?
Yeah.
Want to
help,
right? So I have a good friend of mine, business partner of mine, has made millions of dollars in real estate, and he's out there trying to sell self-help. And I told him, I said, look, man, you made millions of dollars in real estate. People want to know how to make money. Go sell that. And then give people what they need. So what they need is the mindset shift, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need the personal development stuff because that's what we're talking about. But it's not that it can't be done. It can be done. But it's a tough sell. So it's easier to sell people on something that they could, where they could see, you know, it helps you somewhere to measure. So if you can, and the best way to measure something is in income. So I'm just throwing that out there, and we're here to kind of work through this and talk through this. But it's definitely something you have to think about.
You're saying it's both basically motivation, inspiring, is changing the mindset is a tough sell. But so are you saying that, our brand is Authentic You, Authentic Me, which we love, the real experience. So are you saying that the thought process to sell, to just find out who you are and relate from that place, are you saying that that is a hard sell? Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying it can't be done.
Right. I hear you. I'm on the same page with you. So what could we add to that? Because that's part of how people are drawn to us. When I sit down and talk to someone, a gift that I know that I have, I sit down and I talk and I start speaking, people are drawn. I got them. I just need you to sit and talk with me. Just give me 2 seconds and I got you. So that's part of who I am, the authenticity of who I am. But in addition to that, what would you recommend that we add to Authentic You, Authentic Me, since that would be a tough sell, based on you know, based on what we've told you?
Right. The first thing is I'm all about stories, okay? People relate to people that are like themselves. So the first thing you need to do is figure out some way to create affinity with a target audience. And the easiest way to do that is through your story. So you each have stories, right?
Which we presented in the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Look at me like...
Oh, he didn't read it. I'll tell you that.
Oh, Eric, you didn't read it?
He hadn't read it. You
know,
he didn't
want to
tell me that, and I just hit him.
No, I was going to tell you, but at the same time, I know from a business standpoint, it doesn't matter whether it's a book or we're selling ice cream, the marketing principles are the same. You know, you got to get somebody interested in it, you got to, you know, and so on. So I will read the book. I just haven't read the book for this, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So went off on a tangent. What happened? So story.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm a big believer in using your personal story, assuming it's something you want to share with people, to connect with people, because somebody will have a similar story. So once you have the story, right, that's how you find your target audience. That's how you find the niche. Make sense?
That's perfect for us. We have... We have some juicy stories. We really didn't really even tell it off. We just could only give
no.
a snippet of really our story. Not that we would even present it in a speaking format. Sometimes you don't even want to hit people with all of it. But so that helps us with selling the book.
Okay, selling the book is fine. But, okay, how much is the book? What was it,
$12.99.
So just selling the book to turn it into a six-figure business, you got to sell a 1,000 books a month.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The average author, I think you guys said you sold 250 already or something like that.
Total. we have the book, October, maybe 2 months, and we've sold well over 100 books.
Okay.
We only have about 5 books left.
I'm sorry, say it again?
We only have about 60 books left. So
okay.
We sold 200, yeah.
The average author sells about 250 books.
A month?
250 books, period.
Oh, well, we're
kicking
butt.
Right. So, they have more books in their garage than they sell. That, I mean, and that's just the truth of it. You know, that's just reality of it.
We are aware of that, too.
So that's why we only printed 250.
Right. So now the book, what a book gives you, is yes, the ability to tell your story, the ability to communicate with people. But the truth is, the vast majority of people don't even read the book. So when I sell my book, I'll have people call me to come speak at their conference, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, and I'll say something along the lines, oh, did you read the book? They said, no, I opened it to get your contact information. Right? Okay. So a book is a couple things. It's the best business card in the world, okay? And it's a credibility builder. Okay, that's And it allows you to do tons of other things, but I think that's how people need to look at it. If somebody reads it, that's great, and they should be impacted by the information that's in the book. So you just can't put nonsense in there, because
right.
There are people that will read it. But I think it's also to be honest about what a book is to people. Like most people don't read past the first chapter of a book. So what a book can do for you is it can put you on TV, you know. It establishes you as an expert. It's, I mean, there's nothing more powerful than a book to establish you as an expert, which is, I think, the best reason to have it, honestly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a couple of things right, just doing what we do.
Yeah, no, that's great. So, since I didn't read the book, who could give me a... a quick soundbite of your story and how you guys relate to each other. Because then I'm sure from there we can find a target audience. And then I'll get into, because there's something you guys said earlier, I think, is you first start talking, which is, I think the money in this, but let's kind of keep going.
The book is a collection of short stories. In the short stories, the stories are all very short, very juicy. They are funny, they are sad, but they are real stories. These are
Now, are they your stories, your personal?
Some of them are.
So, are they other people's stories?
Some of them are.
Okay, but they're all true stories.
They are all true stories.
Nine stories are ours. So yes. Chapter 1 and chapter 3 is me. Chapter 2 and chapter 4, I think, is Karita. Right?
Okay, so here's... I already see the idea. So obviously you guys know Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul?
Yes.
Yeah.
So chapter 1 is... Well, here, let me let you read this so you can kind of see what I'm talking about.
I read this.
Oh, you read it? Okay, so you remember that. Okay, so, yes. These are our stories.
Okay, so going back to the authentic, and again, this is just me talking. You have to, just throwing ideas out and somehow figure out a way to formulate it into something that you can monetize. Okay, Chicken Soup for the Soul, that's the book series. Have you heard of that?
Yep.
Okay, Mark Victor Hansen. That's what that entire series is about, is they have collected stories from other individuals, right? So they have Chicken Soup for the Teenager Soul, Chicken Soup for the Teacher Soul, Chicken Soup for the Executive Soul, right?
Yeah.
But they have collected a bunch of short stories from other people, basically getting other people to write the book for them, And therefore, now it's the biggest publishing success in history. They sold, I mean,
millions and millions.
Like hundreds of millions of books.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like ridiculous. And so from there, they've turned that into seminars and speaking and all that type of stuff. And again, that's a great business model. But now, if you take that same model, so authentic you, authentic me, authentic you?
Authentic you, authentic me.
Okay. And what if you go out and interview different people, right, on different subjects? You're now allowing them, now you're turning them into an author. Because you are printing the book, but you're turning them into an author, and they're giving you the content for the book. And there's, you know, what do you guys think of that?
This is what we did.
With that book.
With the book.
Right.
All of them are not our stories.
Right.
There's other people's stories that we did do interviews. One of them is my nephew. One is Nicole's nephew and our cousin. One was one of my best girlfriends. So we did that.
Okay, so you come from the financial industry, right? You're both corporate women. Okay. Why not first reach out to, so we talked about affinity a moment ago, finding somebody like you, same age, race, same career path, and not necessarily in the same field, but same career path, and do interviews with those women, and presenting another book, right? So there's, and what I'm thinking of different ways of monetizing.
Okay.
So there's a guy here in Atlanta has a great business model. I think it's fantastic. He has a magazine, and what he does is he offers, you know, black women, and I think it's called People. May have seen it, but he basically takes successful black women from around the city and features them in this magazine. Okay? So part of that is they get, you know, all glammed up, headshots, pictures, they get a profile written on them, and they are featured in this magazine at about $3,000 a pop. Okay? So he's basically doing headshots. He's basically doing headshots. That's why I love the business. He's basically doing headshots, but he's playing to people's ego. He's playing to people's ego.
How many people get the magazine?
I'm not even sure. Uh-huh. I mean, a lot. I mean, but they're all around the city. But now they have something tangible that they could take and show somebody that, hey, look, I am featured in such and such magazine. Here's who I am. Here's my profile. So there's dentists, there's doctors. They run the gamut of what they do. But I think it's a great business model because, again, they're providing the content, but they're paying to provide the content. So...
He played to their ego, and I can see how, and he didn't play to it in a negative way, it was a positive way. Let me feature you in this magazine. He probably told them what the scope would be, I mean, how many people would reach this magazine. And so he probably had a magazine for them to already look at. So they bought into that. We don't have that at this point. Well, we have this book that we're pushing, and people that we sold it to, they really like it. So if we were already thinking in terms of, okay, we need to work on the next project, I like this because we were already going that route and interviewing people. But then how would we pitch that and getting them to pay into this? We wouldn't go at it that way, would we?
Yeah, sorry, you wouldn't go at it what way?
As far as getting them to... Well, how did Soup, the book, Soup for the Soul. How did they get the people that they wrote about to buy into what they were doing, to feature them? Because they had to put the cost, the author, he had to put the cost of the printing and the buying. So the people that they were writing about, did they pay them? Or did
no.
or were they asked, okay, so how did that, how would we work that end of the business?
Okay,
because you don't have any startup money for that.
Okay, so when we met a few weeks ago, right, I talked to you about I'm doing an interview series, right?
Yes.
We both agreed to do it.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Did we sign something?
You didn't sign nothing.
Okay. Okay.
After you're doing this now, you agreed to do it now.
Yeah.
You both agreed to do it.
Yes.
I didn't mention anything about money. I didn't mention any of that stuff, right?
Okay.
But you wanted to be a part of something, okay? So,
yeah,
and that's not understanding your ego. I just said this, you know, I just said real casually, oh, here's something I'm doing, work on, like be a part of it. And the answer is yes. It's rare that, I mean, I've done lots of interviews. I think I had one person, and she was in real estate, and she also didn't necessarily understand the model, but she said, well, basically, what's in it for me? Right? That's fine. That's an honest question.
Yeah.
But that's one person. And I have tons of interviews in different markets for different stuff. So, but what's in it for them is, so like, okay, so when I said I'm recording this call tonight or today, right, so there's a benefit to me. I can use this as a coaching call for a future package or something I'm, you know, putting out down the road. There's a benefit to you because you're getting the information. But I'm also going, what I didn't say is I'm also going to give you a recording of this call because it's easier to take notes. I mean, it's hard to take notes as we're, you know, kind of talking.
Yeah.
So that's why it's being recorded. But now it's also something that you guys could use, you know. So if it's an interview, it's something that they could use for their marketing purposes. I mean, who knows how they want to use it, right? But it's something that they could use for their marketing purposes. Now, when you start turning that into a book, everybody wants to be a published author, right? Now how long does it take you guys to write the book?
Oh, just a couple of months.
Yeah,
right.
A little over 6 months.
Exactly. And I'm sure some of that was just getting the stories from other people.
Yes.
Exactly. So it probably took you a few months at most to do it. So it's not a huge time commitment. But a book is such a powerful thing because people think it's more complicated to do than it really is, right? So the fact that you feature them in a book, right, that's a benefit to them. They will then buy books from you just so they can take the books and give the books away to other people or sell for their own purposes. So this goes back to what you guys are talking about being in the, when you mentioned, I just said publishing business, I'm not sure if that's...
Promotions,
right. This satisfies that part of it. But it's also an income stream, you know.
Let me interject. I'm not lost, but I would like to go back. I do love everything that you're saying, and I understand that concept, and that guy is clever. That's hot.
Great.
I'm going to say God came to him in a dream and told him that because there's not a lot of women who have attained that level of success being a doctor, a lawyer, an author that would not love to have their face made up on the cover of a magazine. That is boom. He get that. But I want to go back. We have a product right now.
Right.
We have this book. I want to know. I want some ideas. I want to sell this book. I think that this product is hot for what's going on right now. It is what's trending right now. It is in the mix. It's unique in its own right. I want to sell a million copies of this. Let's say I cannot sell a million. I want to sell 9,900,000 copies. How do I do that? What is going to be the best way for me to hit this go viral. I want to go viral. Do we need to do a YouTube video where we sit and read these chapters? We're glamorous. Nicole is beautiful. I'm gonna get myself.
Wait. I'm hot and sexy. You know, I'm gorgeous.
We are easy on the eyes. We are articulate. We are educated. We represent not just African American women. We represent women.
Right.
How do we feel? I don't have any problem with doing a next project because I think a next project is absolutely necessary.
You tell me all these ideas. Tell me how to. I'm going to get to that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So then, can I? I think that one thing that I don't think we properly answered his question. What is the book about? So you said something, Karita, that sparked that again to answer that question. This book is going on, it's in the making and for what's happening, what's trending. Right now what's trending is that fathers are missing. And in our country, people are starting to recognize that we need our fathers. And bottom line to this book, in every story, the father somehow played an integral role, whether it was for the good, the bad, the indifferent. He was there, but he was still missing. He was a loving father, but he messed up here. So the bottom line is we need that man. We need that covering. And that's something that's uniquely different about us being authentic. The thought process out there now is that we don't need men. We could do good by ourselves. We don't need fathers. But we now know that that is not true. That's why we have these organizations coming out of D.C. now and out of Jacksonville called Save Our Sons. Fathers are on the map now because of what's happening with what has happened with Trayvon Martin, what has happened with the Dunn case here, and so many other cases. So the bottom line to this book is the father. And so what? He's messed up. How do we transform from here? How do we change our lives? What do we do in society to help ourselves as men and women and children? Because some of us, we end up with sugar daddies because the real daddy wasn't there. We don't realize that we've made these mistakes because daddy wasn't there. Or men don't realize that they're the way that they are because daddy wasn't there. Or he was there, but he didn't do things quite right. But so what? What do we do now? So that's the bottom line to that book. And so when she said it's trendy now, it is. This book is on the cusp of what is happening now, and if we can get it into the right hands, market it the right way, promote it the right way, blog it the right way, Zoom it the right way, I think we can sell a million copies like now. We don't know how to do that.
Am I thinking correctly that if we attain more success with this, to be able to do what your first idea for us was on the second project, interviewing people. I can see how that, I see it in my mind already.
The interviewing thing is, okay, so let's talk about your book now. You're in Jacksonville, you're in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So first thing is, not 100%, but it's highly likely that this could happen, is you want to get some media for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to reach out to, here in Atlanta, it's Fox 5, right? There's other shows, but, Good Day Atlanta, those types of shows. I forgot the other one, Good Morning Atlanta or something.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find the equivalent in Jacksonville. You want to find all of those shows. You want to reach out to them to go on there and be interviewed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that you want to do is you want to give away some books while you're on the air. So not selling them, you just want to give away. We're going to give away 100 books. We're going to give away 50 books, 25 books to the first 5 callers. And you let the radio. Let me get to that in a second. But you let the TV station. You work with the TV station about how they want to do that. They may want to just put it on their website or whatever. That's also important because they're always looking for ways to draw people in and draw people to their websites and all this. It used to be like a few years back, you could go on TV and they would put your website and information up there. Now they embed your stuff into their site, so
yeah.
They're clever about that now. So So you want to do a media blitz. Okay, so you want to start in your local area. You're also going to do hit every single radio, you know, every single radio station in the country. Radio is easy because it's you don't have to travel anywhere to do it. You can do it just sit in your bed and talking on the phone. And you want to create buzz. You want to get people talking about the book. You guys have any testimonials for the book?
We have one on the back cover, yeah. But definitely could get more.
Okay, so that's again part of the reason for giving the book away is you want to get a testimonial for it.
We have some on our
Facebook. Yeah, we have some on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay, so, but you want to get all of that stuff. You want to start creating a buzz. You want to get people talking about it to the point. Like one thing with the media is a lot of the major outlets, major media stations and radio and all that stuff, they pick up their stories from smaller markets. Okay.
Like who's talking about what? What's hot?
Exactly.
So they'll
just look into the smaller markets. They'll find what's happening, and I think it calls it the halo effect. That you know, the bigger outlets pick up the stories from the smaller ones. But even if they don't, here's what's great about it. So I've been on I don't know at least 100 different television shows over the years. I was in an airport one day. And none of it's ever been major media like, you know, like Anderson Cooper, which I'm working on. But it's all been these smaller types of markets like this, right? But I was walking through an airport. I just finished an interview. I was walking through the airport, and the guy says, man, I just saw you on Good Day. I'm sorry, he said Good Morning America this morning. That was a great interview. Congratulations on your success, blah, 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 and so on. And I'm kind of laughing to myself because I wasn't on Good Morning America.
You were not.
Correct.
Wow.
Right? But what people do is they, one, people have no idea what they're really watching, okay? All right? But they, all they do is round up, okay? So you get credit for being on these larger shows, even though that may not necessarily be the case, okay? So, like, I have a friend who's a journalist, and we go back and forth about self-publishing and publishing through a main publisher, right? And since I'm an author and I know this, and she's not, even though she should be, you know, she thinks it matters. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. The mere fact that you have a book is enough. You know, sometimes in marketing we say you self-publish for profit. But no, it doesn't matter. And there's less restrictions, there's less, you know, it's easier to get done and accomplished, and you have speed in your side. But I would go to, so here's a couple resources, or a resource, a powerful one. There's a company called, but don't write this company down. Well, no, write this down, then I'm going to give you the free version of it. But there's a company called, I think they're called InfoUSA. And they're the largest company on the planet that provides mailing lists and those types of things for different businesses. Okay, so they're basically a mailing broker. So everything from any business you can imagine, your home address is there, it's all there. It's all in this company. And people spend good money, and I've spent, you know, good money with these people buying these lists to reach out to people and connect with them and market to them and so on. Okay, so it's a paid resource. But there's also a free resource, right, that's the exact same company, exact same thing, and somebody else is already paid for it. Now it's called the library. So, right, go to the library, and what's needed, you can do this from your home computer now because of technology, and it's usually just having your library card, and you... and they name it something different. I believe it's called Reference USA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have access to everything. Anybody you want to look up, it's all there. You have to type in the, you know, criteria that you know, and it all pops up. So reaching out to these radio stations, TV stations, reaching out to these types of people is easier than it was.
Because their information would be in this Reference USA.
Correct.
A good address, not that we could send it to and it not just get thrown in a pile.
No, it's updated. These people update it all the time. I don't know how often, but it's current stuff. And I say this is like the largest company in the world, so they have people calling these people 24/7 updating this information.
So you don't think that the paid service is better than the library service?
No, it's the same service. It's the same company. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Right. The library is paying for, you know, because that's a government program. They are paying the company, you know, what you would have to pay them to use the service. Now, people don't know this.
Okay, so we just have to have a library
service. Exactly. That's it. It's a library.
It's library card.
Library card and the computer. And
I have a library card.
I do too, okay. But it's for Detroit. But I think it's a universal card, so I think I can use it.
You know, it's a Detroit library. I mean, all libraries buy into it.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, you could go right up here to Cascade Library.
Okay. You guys mind if I jump in here? I have an 11 o'clock meeting with our technology officer, so I can't push that meeting off. But if you guys wouldn't mind, I want to shift gears here. I don't know if Karita mentioned to you that we received an inbox from one of our followers on Facebook to let us know about a book contest with Zulon Publishing. And so we were considering entering this contest. But we wanted to get your thoughts on it. So are you familiar with Zulon Publishing?
Sounds familiar, but I can't picture the spelling of the name.
Zulon.
No.
Okay, they are a major publisher, a Christian publisher, and they are running this book contest. For self-publishers and the Christian Choice Writing Contest. I'm looking for the website. But at any rate, they have several different categories. One of the issues is that we weren't for sure what category we should enter into. It has like Christian living, Christian counseling, finance, biography, autobiography. So it didn't really narrow down to what we actually wanted. So we wanted to talk to you about that to get to run
the
categories past you. I'm sorry?
The fee is $59 per entry.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, that's another business, right? So lots of companies, they put together awards, they put together contests. There's one, I think it's Inc. 500. And basically what you do is you apply, you give them money, right, and you're almost guaranteed to win something, right, because you're paying them. but if not, and you just don't win, you could still stay nominated for best book in Christian, book sales or whatever, for whatever category that you want to go after.
Yeah.
That's how you use it.
Okay, so here are the prizes. Let's go back. The categories are autobiography, Bible study, children's books, Christian fiction, Christian living, Christian counseling recovery, current events, political, devotional, end times, finance, health, marriage, ministry, missions, parenting, poetry, theology. Out of those, we were thinking about, Karita said Christian fiction, and I said Christian living, and the reason why I thought Christian living, because these stories are not fiction, but it could fall under fiction. And another one that I thought about was counseling and recovery, but we weren't sure because it's very broad here. Okay, and then the contest, the winners will receive, I wanted to know what you thought about this, prizes, I'm sorry. Okay, grand prize is a full-page ad in the 2014 ICRS and CPE editions, I guess that's their magazine, of the Christian Book Browser Catalog, value over $3,000. Book placement, both in the Christian Browser, or the trade shows, which is a value of $1,200 and $500 in cash. second prize or second place is a half page ad and then $200 in cash. Third place is a quarter page ad and then $100 in cash. That's it.
Yeah, well, I would do it assuming I wasn't going to win, right? I just assume the worst. If I win, that's great. But I would do it just to stay nominated for, you know, I don't know how to language it. I mean, we'd have to sit down and figure that
okay.
out. But nominated for blah, blah, blah book and Christian Living. And I think Christian Living is also the category to go with. Based, and there was another one. I can't remember what it was. But Christian Living.
That's what Nicole had
leaned
for.
And there was one other one you said. It was, but Kristen Lucas is the one that stood out to me when you went down the list.
It was
so nominated by name of the company, book contest, and so on. Because now that's something that you could use forever. You know, it doesn't matter whether you win or not. You're nominated. So you want to figure out ways to piggyback off of other people's success. So to give an example of my own work with Jimmy Carter, you know, and I had that picture with President Jimmy Carter, when he won the Nobel Peace Prize, now I'm able to say, you know, with Nobel Peace Prize winner and President of the United States, Jimmy Carter. Now, you'd be shocked at how many people have said Eric spoke at the Nobel Peace Prize event. I'm not sure. Now, I know that, right? It's very calculated and very orchestrated. But it still shocks me when people say when they say stuff like that. I don't have to lie. I don't have to do anything. People round up.
Yeah.
So you want to figure out. So if this is a big company, and especially in the Christian book sales.
It is.
Use it. I mean, for $50, just to be able to say.
Yeah.
You know, nominated for best book and such and such.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
So would you recommend that we do it for two categories? Because the other one, okay, there was Christian fiction, Christian living, counseling, recovery, current events / political. I mean, we could do current events, political, I don't know. But then the other one was health, marriage, ministry, missions, parenting, poetry, theology. And then
I would recommend other categories because it's...
Every category requires a new entry fee.
A new $50, right.
Yeah.
Right, which is what they want. Yeah. And you're, you know, favor is not fair, right? So if you're giving them money, right, this is like buying tickets at the kids fundraiser, dropping them in the bowl.
Yep.
The more you buy, the better the odds of winning something are. Right? So that's what this is. And that's fine because if you win, that's great. Now you could, so now you could use the additional advertisement for other stuff. But even if you didn't win, just to be able to say nominated in blah, blah, blah. You could say nominated
three
in
categories.
This, and this.
Yes.
Okay.
Right? Yes.
Okay, Nicole, so I think we should decide later on the categories that because we certainly earned enough money to be able to do this without a problem. Okay. That's a good idea.
Okay. So I'm going to drop off at 11, so I'm just going to drop off at 11. Okay.
Okay. So what are you talking? I'm assuming she didn't care.
Okay. I have there's a big question. Would you have, so we're going to do you have any other idea that would help increase exposure? We are certainly going to get on this referencing, and we kind of were prepared to have to give away books. The lady who we used to edit the book, that was one of the things that she had told us, to kind of create some buzz.
Well, if you're giving away books, you want to make sure you capture their information. So when I say capture their information, minimum email, right? Minimum first name, last name, email. But hopefully full contact information. So let's go back to Philadelphia when I was selling the book. I didn't have books with me, right? I did that order form. The reason I have the order form is because I am capturing their information, right? So now I could follow up with them for other stuff, right? So the fortune is in
be gone. But
the fortunate that people is actually in the relationship that you create with your audience.
What happens when the person who purchased that from you is not somebody that's well connected or somebody that could even? Well, I guess that's not the right way to ask it, because anybody could give you a testimony about how great the book was.
Exactly.
So we have done that.
Right.
What we have not done is sent out necessarily an email blast to say thank you for buying the book. So I guess that's something that we should do, is create.
And you want to create a relationship with your readers. And the more, like, I made this mistake on, I got a resource thing for you. I was doing an interview earlier this year, and, you know, a woman said she had, like, 500,000 different, you know, listeners for this particular program. So I said, great, I'm going to give away a copy of my book during the interview. And the only motivation was, you know, to give away a copy of the book, but to actually collect their email addresses, so I could reach out to them and connect with them and do other things and sell other books and do other stuff. And I could, I collected like 60 email addresses. So that told me immediately, I mean, 60 is better than zero, but it immediately told me she didn't have 500,000 people listening. Right? So that's a good measuring stick. But the mistake I made is I collected their information, did not stay in contact with the group. So later that year, I was promoting something, and a couple people dropped off the list. Not many. But it was really like they didn't remember that I gave them something, right? They didn't remember this. So you want to create and maintain a relationship with the people. So when she said newsletter earlier, and she said, I think you said monthly, or she said monthly.
Quarterly.
Said quarterly. Right. Not quarterly. You want to do it monthly.
I wish I could have heard that. Nicole?
Yes, I heard it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you are
right.
Okay.
And here's why. Is doing it quarterly is you're making, you don't want to assume when somebody needs your services or when they might use you, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody might want to come speak at their conference, but because it wasn't, because you weren't on their mind, right? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't get the newsletter, right? Now it's like, God, if I had got that thing a month earlier, we could have.
That's good.
In addition to that,
in your face.
No. Yesterday, I was in the post office, and a client of mine. I was in the post office, and I was looking at my newsletter, right? Because I have a fulfillment company that sends out a hard copy newsletter. We'll talk about that here. And I was just looking through it, and a client of mine comes up to me. He just happened to be in the post office. Hey, what you doing? Blah blah blah, and so on. We're talking. He says, "Man, I'm gonna use you for something. I love how you stay in my face." I said, "So you get the newsletter every month?" He said, "I just got it." Right? That's his purpose.
Oh, cool.
Right? That's his purpose. His purpose is to stay in their face. So now it's automated, right? So I don't need to make a phone call every single month to 1,000 folks. But now I can build myself up.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk about things. I talked about going to Philadelphia. I talked about different things happening, mm-hmm. right? So now it's a publication that they get. Now, it's nothing more than a black and white piece of paper, either one side, or it's usually two sides, or 11 by 17 folded in half, right? But now it's a publication, and I talk about everything from my kids to family to the things I'm doing. It's rarely things about business. It's just a relationship-building tool.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question for you guys to discuss as I drop off. What should we capture? So I like that. To build a relationship, we talk about us and what's happening.
Talk about you.
So, but how much, there needs to be a limit to how much we do reveal. So can you guys talk about that? Because I know reveal, you have to be careful in what you're revealing. So if you could talk about that, that would be great. And you're going to give us a copy of the call, right?
We can go to pre-conference call, and we can listen to it over and over again.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Eric. I'll talk to you later, Karita.
Okay.
Oh, he'll give the information to us. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm thinking this is like a
it's
call.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, Nicole. If something comes up and you want me to hit Eric with it, shoot me a text.
Okay. All right. And how much longer do you guys think you'll be on? Because if you're on a good little while, I'll try to call back in.
Text me when you get free again.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay.
Really don't know what I can see. So,